So back at it, question number 7. Share with us the big motivation behind writing your first book, Goodvertising, and your learnings from that. So, you know, about a decade ago, probably around 31, 32 or something like that. And at the time we had this climate summit in Copenhagen, COP 15. And this was kind of what sparked the idea to write Goodvertising, in the sense that we hold these elected government leaders in Copenhagen. Tony Blair was there. We had Obama. And obviously when it's happening in your home country, you know, you probably have a bit more of a sentiment that things were really going to change. And I think there was, generally speaking at the time, quite global expectation for the outcome of that summit. And as we all know, nothing really happened. And in many aspects, the endless episodes of the climate summits kind of remind us a little bit of, you know, the TV series Friends, in the sense that, you know, we're all watching it, nothing much is happening, but somehow we're still glued to it. But I think that was what provoked me to think about, when we can't trust our elected government leaders to create the needed change, what if brands could be those who could come in to the rescue? And obviously, if you look at the massive reach that some of those brands have, like Coca-Cola and P&G, that are touching billions of people's daily, what if that could be a force for change? What if some of the world's biggest brands, some of the smallest brands, all could be part of this effort? So those were the early days and the concept of Goodvertising. And for me, it was as much a rallying cry to the industry about how we could use creative ideas to make the world better. And secondly, obviously, how we could use the power of the power of brands to make the world better. And as I talked a little bit about earlier, at the time, this was very, this was a novelty. And when the book came out, 2012, from Jameson Hudson, it wasn't really picked up by the industry as at first. It did really take the industry quite a few years for them to take this seriously. And of course, today, every award show with respect for itself now have a sort of Goodvertising category. So lots have happened since then. So next question. So 6 is the new 30. Shorter attention spans, vertical orientations, platforms like Instagram TV, the potential of user-generated content. Are we moving from the overt to the covert, appealing to the subconscious rather than the conscious? What is your take, and what are the learning and lessons for brand marketers and content creators in all of these times? Yeah, for sure, you're right. I mean, obviously, brands need to be much faster at being always relevant and always on. And, you know, in the book, I talk about how obviously mass marketing, mass production, all of these mass political movements are all dying, and we need to embrace a complete different mindset. And I talk about it in a different terms, in the sense of how we need to approach the market. And one of the things I observed, and I call it the wheel of transformability, and the whole idea was those companies who were best at turning people into active participants across the whole marketing mix, from products and services to the actual promotion part, and how those seem to be much more successful. And the idea is obviously to move from a we do everything as a brand mindset to opening up your marketing efforts for people to play with. So whether that is, for example, Lego, the toy maker, with the ideas platform, where people can upload some of their own Lego creations, and if they get enough votes, that will actually be turned into a real product. You know, people obviously have these expectations of being involved in the marketing mix. I mean, young people growing up today are already at the age of 13, quite probably better marketeers than most people I worked with through my career, in the sense that they have been used to selling at Instagram platforms. They've, you know, if they wanted to, they could start their own business tomorrow. So it's definitely a complete different mindset. And quite frankly, I'd say that the marketeers who don't get this, don't get this idea that they hold no power whatsoever. And it's really about opening up the brand and the marketing mix for people to play with. And the irony of this, all of this, is in a time where people say, oh, but people don't want to engage with digital content, etc. Hell yeah, they want to engage, but most content doesn't give them the possibility to do so. And actually, if we look at some of the content that are most successful online, it is obviously that content that people can play around with, that they think is helpful, etc. And so the process in the book, and the one pivotal question I do ask, is people actually want to self-actualize true brands, and by asking that, and the organizations and the brands and the leaders that ask the question, who can you help people become, are obviously also the ones that are best at opening up their brands for people's active participation. So this is a very central point in my book. So I'll go to the next audio file.